seated. The story is told of what happened when Charlie Strong, the former head coach of the Texas Longhorns, died and went to heaven. Made it up to the pearly gates, St. Peter met him there, began to show him around. And as they're walking, the two of them came to a hill, and set up on the hill is this beautiful, big, glorious mansion. Flying from the top of the mansion are two flags, a purple K-State Wildcat flag, and beneath that, this horribly offensive flag saying something to the effect of, "We own Texas." And so Charlie Strong looks at that mansion and he says to St. Peter, "Who lives here?" And St. Peter says, "Oh, this is reserved for Bill Snyder, the honored head coach of the Wildcats." And Charlie Strong hangs his head. He's thinking with regret about all of those missed opportunities in Manhattan. But the two of them walk a little farther up the hill, and he looks even further up, and higher up on the hill is an even bigger mansion, one that is so big that it makes that first mansion look like servant quarters. Flying from the top of this mansion is a glorious burnt orange longhorn. And so Charlie Strong turns to St. Peter, a little bit of a smile forming on his face. He says, "Is this one for me?" St. Peter laughs and smiles, says, "No, this is where God lives." Are you expecting a reward in heaven? You've been working towards receiving some kind of award, some big mansion up in the sky reserved just for you? Have you assumed that when you get there, everybody will be equal? There will be no reward whatsoever? Have you even pondered the question at all? I guess I sort of assumed for a long time that there would be no rewards in heaven, that getting to heaven itself was enough of a reward. There would be nothing else beyond that. But then we come across these words in today's reading in Corinthians, and Paul states that on Judgment Day, each one's work will become manifest, and that they will receive a reward based on what they've done. Well, that doesn't fit with what I've seen elsewhere in Scripture. What does it mean? What is Paul saying that we're going to receive a reward in heaven? That's the question we want to wrestle with today a little bit. So let's dig into our text. Over the past several weeks, we've seen how Paul has been addressing this congregation in Corinth who's stuck in a lot of conflict and factions going on between them. One follows Paul, one follows Apollos, one follows Peter. And Paul is trying to draw their attention away from those factions and cause them to come back together. And so he says in verse 11, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the first point we need to hold on today is the fact that the foundation is Christ. The foundation of our salvation, the foundation of our eternal life to come is built all upon Christ. It comes to us from Him. It's all by grace. As I'm in confirmation, I'm teaching our confirmands what grace is. I'm looking for my confirmands out here. I tell them to remember grace through the use of an acronym. GRACE stands for God's Riches at Christ's Expense. All of God's riches, the forgiveness of our sins, this life everlasting, salvation, healing, life made the way it was always meant to be apart from our sin. All of those riches come to us at Christ's expense. His perfect life, His suffering and death on the cross, His resurrection, all the things that Christ has done, the consequences that Christ suffered on our behalf, that is what brings us all of God's riches. None of it comes to us on the basis of what we have done. Nothing we could ever do could ever make up for the sin that we have committed. That's why Christ came. He takes those penalties upon Himself. Nothing we can ever do could ever give us anything in addition to what He's already given to us. All of our good works pale in comparison to what Christ has done for us. We're saved by grace. We're welcomed into heaven by grace. All of God's riches are ours at Christ's expense. We're built on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. That's our first point, but that still doesn't really help us answer the question then of this reward. And what does Paul mean by reward? So the second point is this, is that you are God's temple. Paul says in verse 16, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Now this is where the English language doesn't help us so much, because the "you" that he's using here is a "you" plural, and English doesn't really help us distinguish between the two. But Paul is not just talking about you as individuals, he's talking about you, you plural, you all, y'all, you uns, use guys, whatever you like to say. It's you plural, it's all of you together. So on your handout, you might want to cross out the "you" there and write "y'all" or whatever else it is that fits for you. It's you plural. All of you together are the temple. See, Paul is working with this extended metaphor of a building, of a temple, that God is putting together. The church, this temple, it's not a building built of bricks and mortar and wood and shingles. God's temple is not campus specific, as if this temple is different from the one over there in Mission. It's not divided up by denominations. God's temple, God's building, God's church consists of all of those who believe in Him, who trust in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, who believe in His promise. All of us together are this temple. And so as Paul talks about building with gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and straw, he's not talking about a physical building. He's talking about God's temple, you all, y'all, built together, brought together. He's talking about others coming to know Christ and believe in Him and be built on that foundation of Christ and be drawn together. This is the building. This is the work that's going to be tested by fire, and this is the work that leads to reward, this building of this temple. And so our reward is seeing others in eternity. Our reward is knowing that the work that we have done has brought others into this kingdom of God. Paul says this, "If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." We don't get into heaven by our works. We're not earning anything in His sight by our works. We're saved by grace through faith apart from works. And if we do nothing else in this life, we still make it into heaven as if by fire. But the rest of everything that we've done perishes and is destroyed. And so our work, our purpose in life, our goal, our dream is that we're working for a reward. The reward of seeing others come to know Jesus and be built on that foundation. So what are you working for in this life? What are you chasing after? Are you chasing after that Johnson County life? Bigger house, bigger car, bigger boat, bigger paycheck? Chasing after that next A on a test, that next promotion at work? Are you measuring your value and your worth in terms of the esteem of others and what they think of you? You're so concerned that your kids are playing on the right team, they're going to win that game. You're all wrapped up in the things of this life. I mean, it's not that any of those things are wrong or that they're bad. It's just that they don't last. Those are the things that are going to get burned up by fire. And if those are your biggest goals and your biggest dreams, then you're not dreaming big enough. You're not focused on the things that are going to last. I mean, the phrase really is true. You can't take it with you. That stuff doesn't go anywhere. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's only for this life. And the call of our faith is to be focused on something greater than just these things that are here on earth. So my friends, my hope and my prayer for you is that you'll have a bigger dream than just the stuff of this life. My hope and my prayer is that you will be working for something that lasts, that you'll be working for that reward in heaven, the reward of seeing other people come to be a part of God's temple. And it starts right in your own family. It starts right with this little one that you brought here, who's baptized, who's brought into Christ's family, who's built on the foundation, and how from this moment on we work to move forward to take Zadie and make sure that she grows up in this faith, that she comes to know Jesus, that you with your kids, as they continue to grow, continue to see this faith lived out in you so that it becomes lived out in them. And so you make coming to church every week a priority in your life so that they see its importance in you. You let your kids see you reading God's Word so they see the importance of it, that they want to grow in God's Word. You do family devotions so you have a chance to talk about what this faith is. And then you teach them about truth and forgiveness and grace, and you model it to them in life so that when they mess up, you treat them with forgiveness and grace. And when you mess up, you go to them and you ask for their forgiveness and their grace. You model this Christian life to them so that they will be built on this foundation, so that they will inherit this life forever with God. Start with your kids, but then you continue to look beyond that to your extended family, to your friends, to your neighbors, your coworkers. All of them, too, have this chance to be built on the foundation of Christ, be included in God's temple, in this body of Christ. And so what are you doing? How are you living your life so that you're working towards that reward? And for me, it's the neighbor a couple doors down who we've come to know was baptized as a child, but they haven't been to church even on Christmas or Easter in a number of years. And so how are we building relationships with that neighbor so that then we have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus again and invite them to come and be part of this community of faith again? It's the couple that we're coming to know who they're going through a very difficult time in their marriage. How do I continue to open up my life to them so that they'll open up their lives to me about the struggles that they're going through, and then I can point them to Jesus? What a great reward it would be when I get to heaven to look out and to see them there in heaven as well, and to know that they are there in part because of something I did to help them come to understand the love of Christ and His grace for them. See, my friends, we're not working to earn some big fancy mansion up in the sky. All the riches of heaven, all the riches of God's grace are already yours in Jesus because of what He has done for you. But in faith, by faith, we get the chance, the opportunity to build upon that foundation of Christ, to invite others to come in and receive His grace and mercy and forgiveness. What a great reward to know that you've played a role in someone else receiving eternal life. So dream big. Work for reward. And may Christ be your constant companion every step of the way. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. Having confessed the creed during the baptism, we continue with the song of the day.